This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's another one of my favorite songs. And the guy who's the lead singer, what's the name of this group, Rudy Salazar?
New Radicals.
New Radicals. They didn't do a whole lot. This was like a project, I believe. By the way, this is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here, Rudy Salazar. The one thing I liked about this song is this was another fun song. They shot it at like a, I think it was at a shopping mall. They're just walking around. The guy's wearing a bucket hat. And this guy, the lead singer, is a great songwriter. He's written a lot of songs for a lot of people, and this was just kind of a project record, and just a great, that's a feel-good song right there. So even though I'm still fighting this cold that made me feel good. I got a busy day today here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. I think Rudy Salazar is going to put in about 19 hours today. Coming up at 2 o'clock, Josh Briscoe is going to jump behind the microphone. He's got baseball tonight. Gets you ready for the Royals and A's. At 4 o'clock, the Belmont will justify complete the Triple Crown. So you can listen to it at 4 o'clock. If you've got to be out and about, you can't get near a TV, 4 o'clock. Then Josh Briscoe will be back for the Baseball Tonight postgame show somewhere around 6. Sporting KC and Portland at 9:30, the late night West Coast game tonight. And then Dave Borchert with the final whistle coming up approximately 11:30 p.m. Speaking of Sporting Kansas City, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com joins us now to talk sporting and a little World Cup. Andy, how are you on this overcast Saturday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well, but I think the realization that the U.S. is really, really not in the World Cup has hit me, with it being 5 days away from starting on Thursday. It's a weird, strange, exciting, sad time.
It is, and I've filled out my brackets. My kids and I and our family, we're doing brackets together. We're going to add up the points, and I did my brackets, and not seeing the U.S. there and then seeing a bum-ass squad like Panama there just made me feel sick. But for the U.S. national team, before we get into sporting, I guess we'll just start right there. I tweeted out, the U.S. men's national team is now playing in these friendlies because we don't have any competitions to play in. That's what happens when you don't make the World Cup. So the U.S. is playing a friendly against France today. And the U.S. is playing the kids like they have the last couple of games, which is fine. They got a couple of veterans like Bobby Wood and Will Trapp and DeAndre Yedlin and some guys, Villafania. But France is rolling out a lineup. And look, even if you don't know anything about soccer, Andy can tell you about these guys. Giroud up front with Antoine Griezmann, Mbappe, Paul Pogba, Kanté, and then in the back you got the young kid, Umiti, who really came on in the last. He's still just a kid to me. Loris in goal. I mean, France is running out about $1 billion worth of soccer players today against this young, inexperienced U.S. team because they're getting ready for the World Cup.
Yeah, if you want a pretty good indicator of where France are at in terms of their player pool and what they have available in comparison to the U.S., I think, and a lot of people have said over the last few weeks as it became pretty apparent what the France roster was going to be, the 23-man roster, their B team, the players 24 through 46 are easily a round of 16 team in the World Cup and maybe a quarterfinal team as well. That's the kind of talent that they have to pick from and to discard for a tournament like the World Cup. It really, it brings new meaning to the phrase embarrassment of riches. It's kind of the same for the likes of Germany as well. Their list of players that they didn't take to the World Cup is also embarrassing. And I think that it's a bit of a reality check for the U.S. for sure, because we come from this CONCACAF region where it should be us in Mexico every time automatically qualifying. I think we assumed that coming into the cycle, and obviously that didn't work out that way. But it just reminds you that if the goal is to get into World Cup semifinal, the upper echelon, the elites of the world, then there is not only a long way to go, but there is a really, really, really long way to go, because it takes, to have a long run at the World Cup, it takes so many things to go right. And I don't want to say like you have to get lucky, but you need a little bit of luck. You need a couple of really, really 50-50 moments to all go your direction. And if you don't get that at the World Cup, You know, that's exactly what happened last time around. You get to play Belgium. You have an opportunity to get to pull an upset, but not enough talent, not the right game plan, whatever it is. So yeah, I'm very worried about these young U.S. kids, but at the same time, it will be a learning experience this afternoon when they play against France, and maybe they give us a type of a performance of solidarity that gives you a little bit of hope that they're not just talented, they're not just a little bit of flashy with some of the young guys, but maybe that there's a little bit of substance there as well.
We're talking with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking World Cup and Sporting KC. So just a couple more things in the World Cup, and then we will get to Sporting. I read a lengthy piece this week, and I apologize, I don't remember if it was Washington Post or which news outlet it was from, but a very lengthy article breaking down all the mistakes that were made over the last basically 8 years by U.S. soccer that led to this disaster of not making the World Cup. And one of the things that, I don't know if it surprised me, but it confirmed a few things for me. Jurgen Klinsmann, fans of U.S. soccer were on one side of the fence or the other. Jurgen's bringing in a different style. He's changing the way we think. He's forcing the players to be accountable, blah, blah, blah. And the other side was, you know, he's not American, even though he lives in L.A. He doesn't know the American player. He doesn't know the heart of the American player, and he brings in foreign nationals who are not foreign nationals. They're American citizens who happen to live in Germany, and maybe that didn't work. All these mistakes. But the one thing that I found absolutely infuriating was the number of players who talked, either on or off the record, and said Jurgen Klinsmann changed his game plan every day. We never knew from one day to the next what we were supposed to do. And there were times when the players would be in the tunnel having no idea how they were supposed to line up and what they were expected to do. And the players would discuss, guys, are we in a 4-4-2? Are we going 5 in the middle? What are we? Nobody knew the game plan. And that is a serious indictment on U.S. soccer and one of the things that led to this disaster.
It just confirms a lot of things that yes. You and I have talked about on a number of occasions elsewhere, that it appeared that the game plan was changing from game to game and even mid-game, and that the players didn't seem to know what they were supposed to do.
You know this, there was the one game Michael Bradley went over to the sideline and was screaming at Jurgen saying, we're not doing this. This doesn't work. What are we doing out here? And Michael Bradley basically made the decision, no, this is what we're going to do because your system stinks.
It just confirms, you know, a lot of suspicions and everything. I think at the end of the day, the thing that Jurgen did the most wrong, if you will, is that he's just not a very good coach. That's not the worst thing in the world. There's a lot of great, great, legendary type former players that just aren't meant to be managers. They're not meant to be coaches because they don't kind of have that thinking tactician's brain, or they don't have a philosophy, a style that they can really implement. And I think that was the one thing that when he got himself hired by Sunil Gulati back in 2011, he's an unbelievable salesman. He could sell you the worst of the worst used cars and make you think you got the greatest deal in the world because he's a smooth talker. He's a quick talker. You know, he can flash that smile at you. He's got some personality.
Yeah, he's tan. He's got blonde hair. He looks good.
But when it came down to the substance and the actual soccer stuff, the on-the-field stuff especially, it just wasn't there. Now, I do think, and I will say in his defense, which is something I don't really do often, he did change the way that I think a lot of people look at the game and the expectations. He raised the expectations, whether that was through on-field performance or not. And also, he expanded the player pool massively for the U.S., whether it be those dual internationals from Germany or from Iceland or wherever in the world, or just bringing in a number of young players, giving them an opportunity, putting them on the map. And you know, that's motivation right there for a young player. You give them an opportunity, and Jordan Morris is a perfect example. And I think that this young crop that's coming through, that's you know, there's a number of guys that he also helped push to Europe at a very young age, whether as teenagers or whether once they finally turned 18 and could go professional. So I think he's going to have some longer lasting impact that I think will be positive. Now, obviously, missing the 2018 World Cup is a massive negative, and not just for the next month while that's going on, but there, you know, there's dominoes, there's repercussions for that that will last a long time.
Yeah, when you go 8 years between World Cup appearances, that, and that's guessing that the U.S. gets in next time, that's just a long time. We're talking with Andy Edwards. NBCSports.com covers sport in Kansas City and the U.S. men's and women's national team. One more thing on the World Cup. You can laugh at me or you can agree with me, but I filled out my brackets. Our family's doing a bracket challenge. No money on the line, just bragging rights. And I've got Spain and Belgium in the finals and Spain winning the whole thing. Now, that's not... I'm not exactly jumping off a limb with that one, picking the best team in the world to win it, but... That's who I have, but some people, you know, question my pick of Belgium, but I think they're loaded for bear.
That's just... Yeah, they're certainly loaded. I went even less for a leap of faith than that. Spain over France in the final,
okay.
With Germany and Brazil also in the semifinal. So, and I hated doing it, by the way. I'll probably redo it between now and Thursday, and because there's always that one team, whether it was Uruguay in 2010 or whether it was Belgium getting really close to the semis in 2014, there's always one team that kind of comes out of nowhere, and there's always one of those massive, heavy, heavy favorites that just disappointed. Last time, obviously, it was Spain. They lost all three games. They didn't get out of the group stage, and they were completely embarrassed. But they, you know, they're on, I think, 19 or 20 games unbeaten coming into the World Cup now. So I would expect very, very big things from them. And it's a nice blend of veterans that were on the 2010 team and have been there, have won a World Cup, and a ton of young talent that's coming through that's going to be really hungry to push them on as well.
All right, I lied. I'm going to get one more question about this, and then
I'll
get to Sporting
World Cup all week,
and then get to Sporting KC. So, you know, Dave Borchert, host of the Final Whistle here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, works for the Sports Commission with their president Kathy Nelson. They do a great job of bringing big events and making big proposals and presenting big ideas for Kansas City, and they're along with Sporting, part of the group lobbying for World Cup 2026 to come to the United States, and hopefully Kansas City either gets a game or they host one of the national teams and they train at the National Training Center out at Sporting at Children's Mercy Park. So I'm excited about that. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada joint bid. But here comes the disaster known as Hope Solo once again, who really should just stop. Came out this week and said she is lobbying for the U.S. to not get the World Cup. Even though the other choice, I guess, is Morocco, and she says they're not very good either. So she doesn't have an alternative plan. And the reasons she gave, you know, equality between the men's and the women's game, promotion, relegation, all the stuff that has nothing to do with the World Cup. If she wants to fight for those things, fine. Hope Solo, go do it. Go start your own consulting group. Go lobby U.S. soccer to do that. But to stand up as someone who's won World Cups and try to fight against the North American bid, and in particular the United States, it's not just embarrassing, it's wrong. And I'm trying to think of the proper word for it. Good Lord, what is she thinking?
You know,
FIFA people are not going to take this seriously.
Hope has been all over the board ever since, obviously, her playing career ended very acrimoniously with the Olympics in 2016, and obviously she ran for U.S. soccer president on a very kind of shake up the norm kind of platform, which I think, by the way, is not the worst thing in the world.
It wasn't a bad idea, no.
You know, I think there's certain things and a lot of the things that she talked about, you know, in those quotes, you know, equal pay for the national teams.
Totally get that.
Promotion, relegation. I think there's merit in all of those things. I'm not sure this is the realm to. The forum to be using to make that argument. But I will say this, I am, and I've always been, I'm leery of getting back into bed with FIFA once again, and not just because of how, you know, they screwed the U.S. over for the 2022 World Cup and gave it to Qatar, but just for
bribery
for everything that goes into hosting one of these major tournaments. And it's the same with the Olympics and everything. There's so many tax exemptions and free money that's just given away, whether it's federal money, whether it's local money. They come in and they make these outrageous demands, and countries bend over backwards, and so much so with FIFA that I believe it was Chicago and Vancouver both completely pulled their names from the bid for this 2026 bid because they weren't going to agree to that. And I have a ton of respect for those, you know, for those local governments that do that and put ahead of sports and the entertainment, you know, the well-being and the best interests of the people that they're representing. So, you know, FIFA, they're shady as hell. The best anecdote that I can recall from, you know, to really put a face to that is, you know, in 2014 when it was in Brazil, years before, they had outlawed the sale of alcohol in stadiums because fans were getting too drunk at games and killing each other. People were literally dying in stadiums. And when when FIFA came around for the World Cup, they said, well, Budweiser is our main sponsor. We have to sell beer here. They put that ahead of, well, people are being literally killed inside of our stadiums. The dollar came before that. So consider the people that you're trying to align yourself when we're talking about FIFA.
Well, and they're going to Qatar in 2022, as you mentioned. In Qatar, most of the population doesn't drink alcohol, and it's not allowed in most areas, but they're going to have alcohol zones, so to speak, because they wanted to get FIFA there. So
and
that's another story for another time, and we can get into that. But let's talk a little Sporting KC here on the road tonight, and for the Night Owls, it's a 9:30 Central Time start. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle and Dave Borchardt at 11:30. And I kind of like late night soccer in Portland. Portland is a good, I mean, if outside of Children's Mercy Park, Portland, when you watch it on television, it looks terrific. The fans are great, and they've got the guy with the big chainsaw who saws into the big log when they score a goal. I think everything they do, not everything they do, most of the stuff they do is really, really fun. But the game now. Sporting KC in its last two games, the regular season game against Minnesota, played them right off the field. The U.S. Open Cup game against Real Salt Lake was Sporting starting three youngsters, including the 16-year-old kid. They played Real Salt Lake right off the field, and one of those players was Matt Beisler's brother, who's now with Real Salt Lake. But they're on some kind of a roll right now where they're not just winning or getting points, but they're back to dominating, and they hold the ball. Opponents cannot get the ball, which is something we haven't seen in a long time from a Sporting KC club.
Yeah, well, let's focus on what's really important here. Dave's going to be at the station past midnight, and
yes,
he's not the youngest among us. I'm fearful that he's not going to make it through the entire game before passing out in that chair that you're sitting in right now. So good luck to Dave. I miss those late nights during those post-game shows with Dave. I really do. As for Sporting, yeah, it's been a fairly quick transition in that style from, you know, I would say probably over the last 18 months or so. Definitely at the start of 2017, you could see that the Peter Vermes had kind of reined in that rabid pack of dogs that they used to be, the midfield of Roger Espinosa, the way that they would just chase and chase and chase and try to play 100 miles an hour and counter as quickly as possible. Now it's a lot more methodical. It's a lot more possession with purpose is the phrase that I really like to use to describe what they do. It's not just passing the ball around sideways and backwards to keep it away from the other team and not really doing anything with it themselves. You know, they're one of the highest possession percentage teams in the league. They were, at least the last time that I checked, the highest passing percentage team in the league, and they're one of the two or three most active teams passing the ball inside the final third, meaning the attacking third, the opposition's defensive third of the field. So they're active in all the right areas of the field. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they now have the midfield quarterback, if you will, in Elie, someone who can dictate that tempo, who can reset things, who can send the game off in a direction that it needs to go. He can speed it up, he can slow it down. But Johnny Russell, I think, has been huge for that. He's kind of a maverick out there on the field, and he's an unknown quantity. Every time that he touches the ball, you never know what he's going to do. Obviously, the development of Daniel Shalloway has been a huge, I don't want to say surprise, but it's been a boost for this team. He's got 4 goals and 4 assists in league play this year. And at just 21, I think almost 22 years old now, he's quickly becoming a star within MLS. And it's going to be interesting over the next couple of years. Obviously, he's Hungarian. He's got a passport. He could go play anywhere in Europe at any time. There will be interest that will come for him. And the fact that they're doing all this without Felipe Gutierrez, who was clearly their best player for the first month of the season. I think a lot of people, and probably myself included, how good Felipe Gutierrez was in the first month of the season, because he's been out for 2 or 2.5 months now.
He had 5 goals in his first 5 games. Yeah,
they kind of just continued to roll right along without him, and that is obviously, you know, a testament to the roster that Peter Vermes has put together, but also to the guys on the roster. Johan Quaze has struggled a little bit, but I think he had finally kind of started to obviously picked up an injury in the game last weekend. He's going to be unavailable for tonight, and so it looks like Juan Cousin, all 19 years old of him in 100 minutes in his career in MLS, is going to get another start. He started the Open Cup game against RSL, but he looked very, very promising. The young players, the kids are all right. This is, I think, an example of don't be afraid to play your young kids, your academy kids. Give them an opportunity to not only continue to develop, but to show you what they can do, and you give them that reward for showing up every day and working, and you get a nice little run right like they're on right now.
All right, we're talking with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com. Andy, I appreciate your time today, and we will have to, maybe next week sometime, compare our World Cup brackets, and we'll see where we stand. All right, how does that sound?
You know I'm around, Brad.
All right. Hey, Andy, I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
All right, you do the same.
All right, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com, talking Sporting KC and the World Cup. Sporting KC on the road at Portland tonight, West Coast, which means a late start. You can hear it live at 9:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle to follow with Dave Borchert right around 11:30. So a late night coming up for Mr. Dave Borchert. We're getting ready to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Jed Marshall's put together a little game show for us. He's got a list of names, and Rudy and I are going to have to guess, is it the name of a racehorse? Or is it just a name that Jed made up out of the clear blue sky? So we'll do that. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar are here in the Rally House Studios. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, blasting out 50,000 watts, also on your app, which you can pick up at 810WHB.com. You can pick up all the podcasts as well. If you missed David Leske in our opening hour talking Royals baseball and a little bit about the draft and some of the young kids in the Royals farm system, Matt Derrick was with us at 10 talking Chiefs football, Matt with ChiefsDigest.com. You can get that on the podcast later today. And we just wrapped up with Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com talking World Cup and Sporting KC. And if you want to do that thing where you have the radio up and you also have the TV on with the sound down, Mr. Singer, the first-round pick for your Kansas City Royals, is pitching in the College World Series against Auburn. And he's facing the kid who was taken number one overall by the Tigers. They're in the top of the second with no score, Florida and Auburn. So you can watch Royals first-round pick pitching in the College World Series. The sun is coming out. Feel a little bit better. Jed Marshall is here. Rudy Salazar behind the glass here in our Rally House studios. We can do the give out the Twitter handle as well. Jed, yours is?
My Twitter handle is at JedRow24. Okay. I'm not feeling better that the sun is coming out. I went outside a few minutes ago.
Getting
it was
hot.
Still kind of nice because the clouds were out, but
getting hot, getting humid.
It's going to be pretty nasty.
Rudy Salazar has one of the best Twitter handles. I love it, Rudy.
At not that Rudy.
At
I'm still
not that
very
Rudy.
Shocked that was even available.
Because like, I don't even know what that means.
This wasn't something that I got like at the beginning of Twitter. I got this just like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something.
Right.
Wow. A late addition to Twitter, Rudy.
My Twitter is at Brad K. Porter, and when I tried to get my original Twitter handle, I was just at Brad Porter. That's my name. There are a billion Brad Porters, apparently. I didn't realize there were that many Brad Porters.
Common name, Brad.
I don't know any other ones. I've never met one personally, but
I mean, it's not
a
like
a lot of Jen Marshalls out there, are there?
No. When Facebook was first kind of a thing, I actually searched Jed Marshall. I think there was one other one. He went to some school in Indiana. Mm-hmm. He actually accepted my friend request.
Okay. But I did a search for my name on Google one day to see how many Brad Porters there are, and I think the top one that came up was a soccer player over in is Ireland or England, but a very lower tier type player, but
still
a fan favorite of
more import than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely, he has.
There's a Rudy Salazar who's a filmmaker, so
really
again yeah. of more import than you.
It's debatable.
I think I might be the most popular.
Any Academy
Jed Marshall,
Awards?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Any award-winning stuff?
No, I think it's mostly like independent movies, okay. like smaller independent mm-hmm. movies. Because
right.
I was like,
Is that
I remember
you call them, Rudy? Independent
one time
movies?
I was. Creating a website, and so I was going to use RudySalazar.com.
Sure,
it was
absolutely.
Taken by. I was like, it's taken. So I typed it in RudySalazar.com.
Right.
I don't know if it's still the website still exists, but it took me to like a movie director's like page for a movie that he was making.
Yikes! The interwebs, scary yeah. place.
You can find stuff
careful.
You like, and you can find stuff.
You heard
you don't
about?
Like
did you hear the story about the AI on the interwebs?
Oh, the one that turned
with
violent.
Reddit? Yeah, they basically created a psychopath. Artificial intelligence, but showing it
that's
people
good.
Dying on Reddit.
That's awesome.
That's good stuff there.
This is how it all starts.
What
Jeff
do
Bezos
I have to worry
is
about?
Going to kill us all.
What do I have to worry about in my life? Making sure I'm safe on the road, making sure we don't have a nuclear war. I think we're okay on those things.
Jeff Bezos, evil dogs are killing
evil
everybody.
Dogs. Yeah, now we got robots that are going to murder the humans because some asshat programmed them with a violent content. Way to go. Way to go.
They did it like they would basically had two AIs like looking at ink spots, and like one of the robots saw like a butterfly, and the other one saw a person being shot in the head.
Ooh,
Rorschach test.
Like these
That's
are yeah, like those are very extreme differences.
Those are horrible. So when the robots come, we know who to blame. Jeff Bezos, right? All right. Way to
he
go.
Will be, I am fully convinced, I don't know specifically how, he will be the end. He'll be the reason why the world is doomed one day.
The Amazon, you'll get a package delivered to your house. It'll be delivered by a robot, and when you answer the door, they will strangle you and destroy
And I
your,
love,
your
you
house.
Know, I use Amazon products like crazy. Jeff Bezos made my life so much better.
Yeah.
But, like, he will absolutely be the downfall of all society.
Yep. It'll happen. There you go. All right. Way to go. Way to go, Amazon. Appreciate it.
So, how about that Belmont today,
Yeah, how
man?
About that Belmont? Look, here's
good transition yeah. from murdering robots to horse racing.
Well, here's what we did a few weeks ago. We were out on a remote at, I think, at Westlake Hardware. And it was a Kentucky Derby, and none of us know that much about horse racing. So I was trying to find a way to have some fun with it. And so I came up with a list of, I picked out like 10 horses from the Kentucky Derby, and then I made up 10 names. Mm-hmm. And Rudy Salazar and Charlie Carlin had to go head-to-head on this. And today, Jed Marshall has created
I
a
took
variation.
The reins.
Yeah, variation on the game. So, Jed, what
Rudy?
Are the... It took the reins.
It
took me a second. That was like a grenade joke. It
yeah,
took like 3 seconds
that
was to
good.
Go
off. Mick Schaefer would be proud.
And there you go. So, Jed, you have altered kind of the rules, but
so
it's
in
a
the
similar
spirit,
flavor.
In the spirit to keep the game interesting, there are not very many horses who are running in the Belmont, which you can hear. Our coverage starts right here on Sports Radio 810 at 4 p.m. So if you're interested, if you're out and about, moving around, mowing the lawn, I don't know, sitting around by the pool.
Got to find out if Justify gets the Triple Crown.
Yeah, take a listen. But so anyways, the horses that are running are Justify, Hofburg, Bravazo, Vinny Rosso, Tenfold, Gronkowski, Blended Citizen, Noble Indy, and Free Drop Billy.
There we go.
So in the spirit of that, obviously now that we already know the horses who are running, I took it a different way and thought I'd look at some all-time horse racing names.
Okay.
And then last night I was hanging out with some of my buddies. Shout out to Chris for having us over and making us dinner. His wife's out of town on a bachelorette weekend.
There you go.
So we hung out and we kind of created some names and... yeah, I'm going to test you and Rudy's knowledge.
So you didn't go to an online name generator. You guys came up with all these.
Yeah, we were just kicking it all around. Right. Obviously, I don't drink, but my homeboys were having a couple of cold ones.
Okay.
And
this should be interesting then.
Yeah, they're funny, guys. A lot of them, when I told them the spirit of the game, of course, many of the things I could not use.
Right.
And I was like, dude, this is for work. So I can't use a lot of these. And they're like, well, what about this? I'm like, no. So there are certain things.
There are laws
on the books. We can't say that.
Yes.
You know, so it was a good time. But, yeah, whenever you guys are ready.
Okay. So it's Rudy Salazar.
You
want to
flip
me.
A coin?
Huh? Rudy, you can go first. So this is, if you're listening in your car, listening at home, Jed Marshall is going to read off two names. One is the actual name of a racehorse, and one will be something he and his friends made up last night. So, Rudy, you can go first.
Rudy, are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right. I'll have another.
Okay, so I just have to say there's not two of them. I just have to guess if that's real or not. Okay. I'll have another. I'm going to say that is not a racehorse.
Oh, I see. I think it is. I think it is. I think I remember that name.
Wow, Brad gets double points because it is a racehorse, in fact, Rudy. He won two races in 2012, one of which was the Kentucky Derby. So you're a big fat
idiot. Before I got to Kentucky.
All right, Brad with double points there, making the score a whopping 200-0 because Rudy gets zero.
Okay.
There's no scoring method to this, so if you guys get later confused about who wins, that's why.
So I go first on this one?
Yes, Brad, you will go first. What would you like? A category of current or I guess all time?
All time. I'll go all time.
Okay, all time. Let's see here.
I know just enough history to be dangerous.
Licorice Baby.
Ooh, I'm going to go fake. That's not the name of a racehorse.
That is fake. We came up with that one last night. I thought that one was quite strong. For that, you get 200 additional points, making it now 400-0. Rudy, you really need
this
to
this is like
to
around work. The horn, we just make up the points?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. I guess
I feel
I'm
like
totally
I'm
reality.
Being cheated here.
Okay,
no, that was a real one. All right, Rudy, this one, I'll give you an easy one. Henry David Thoroughbred.
Oh, man, it's so absurd. I'm almost like, no, but then I'm like, but maybe.
Well, it's supposed to be said slower. Henry David Thoroughbred.
I'm gonna say not a horse.
That is correct. That is not a horse.
See that? That was just close enough to where I might have. I might have bit on that one.
My first thought was like, no way. But then I'm like, it's so absurd though. Like,
well,
maybe.
And Henry David Thoreau, obviously a well-noted author. Right. So many of these plays on.
That's a good one, by the way.
That was shout out to my buddy Steven, who's a deep,
to be honest, like I had never thinker. Heard of that author before.
Okay, let's see here, Brad.
Yeah.
Lady Crossroads.
Lady Crossroads. That sounds made up to me.
That is a real horse.
Oh, Lady Crossroads. I should have known. Put a sawbuck on Lady Crossroads back at Aqueduct in 86.
Yes, indeed. Brad, you lose 200 points for that.
Oh,
Rudy gains 200, making it now 600-200. Again, no logic to
no
the
logic.
Scoring.
No, go ahead.
Wait, am I up or am I down?
You were winning, Rudy. You have
nice.
600. Brad has 200 because
I lost points.
I don't know. I appreciate Rudy pushing buttons. All right, Rudy, you're up. Uriah Heep.
Okay, I'm going to go with Uriah Heep, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that's not a horse.
That is not a horse. That is a dog that I won money on betting at the Woodlands.
Really?
I won $38 betting on that dog. It was a big dog, and it ran well in the mud. That's all I can tell you.
The Woodlands were good times.
It was good times.
My dad taking me when I was like 7 years old and placing just like full $5 bets. Like, hey, Dad, I like this dog, $5.
Yeah.
I started gambling at a young age.
I'd like to tell you more about that evening, but I don't really remember a lot. After that, I used my $38 wisely. All right, Brad, you're up.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Again, is this the name of a real racehorse, or is this something Jed and his friends made up? Okay, next up.
Animal Kingdom.
Oh, that sounds real to me. I'm saying probably a fan in Omaha who was, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins. I'm going to say that's real. That sounds real to me.
That is a real horse.
There we go. Back on the horse. See what I did there?
I do. Yeah. Bad puns aplenty. Brad,
yes.
That gives you 400 now.
Okay, all right.
Rudy is still leading 800-400.
Okay.
Rudy? Desert Orchid.
That's a horse.
That is a horse. Oh. Good.
I think I was going to say, because I'm pretty sure I remember this horse.
Okay. Good pull.
It won the King George four times.
Wow.
Who does national icon.
I feel like I feel like I've heard this name of this horse before.
So what was the name of the race?
What year was this?
It doesn't have a year here, but it won the King George four times.
Okay, so
it was a national icon and beautiful gray, loved by children.
So when Serem Petro...
I was a children at one point. So maybe
you were,
yes,
you were a children at one point.
I was
Do you mean
children.
A child?
Nope, I mean a children.
So when Serem Petro, Curtis Seabolt, and Pete Enoch, pardon me, Pete, sorry, when they do the trivia challenge next Friday...
Stump the Chumps.
I can call in and say who's a four-time winner of the King's...
No, of the King George.
Of the King George.
Yeah, you'll probably want to do a little bit more research about what the King George is, because you'll be like, what the hell is that?
And then I assume it's like a race over in Britain.
Oh, it's got to be a race.
Pete'll double back on me with something else, though.
All right. Let's not get too far off track, because this is not going well, so let's keep pressing forward. Kindergarten, Brad.
Kindergarten. I'm going to say that's the name of a real horse.
You guys suck at this game because it is a real horse.
Okay, so we're actually good.
Yeah, you guys are good. All right, Rudy, Round the Bend.
Round the Bend.
Bend.
Bend. Round the Bend.
Like going round the bend.
I'm going to say no, it's too easy.
That's too easy. Rudy has a commanding lead here.
Nice.
All right, Brad, back.
Because that would make sense that would be a horse name, but it's too simple.
Brad,
horse people are too
Brad,
smart.
Brad, back over to you.
Okay.
Lucy Goosey.
Some of these horse owners have whimsical personalities. Lucy Goosey. I'm going to say that's a real name.
That is not a real name.
Fell for it. Am I in negative territory yet on points?
No, you're still at that does put you back at 400.
Okay.
And I guess now is a good time to let you know is that the loser of this has to buy me lunch.
Oh boy,
because I'm hungry.
I thought you were going to say have to play Wheelie Bad with Cody.
No, that was my initial instinct.
I'm not doing that. You have to sign up for that first.
How about this? The loser of the game has to eat one Bean Boozled from Cody's mailbox.
Nope.
All right. Fair enough. All right, Rudy, over to you. Needles.
Needles, not a horse.
That is a real horse. Let's hear more about Needles. Needles was the first Florida-bred horse to win the Kentucky Derby and also the Belmont Stakes.
Wow. Good old Needles.
Yep, Needles. So
is Needles still with us?
Don't they normally... I was about to say a different word. Don't they normally put
the
horses out to stud at like age 3?
I just don't know how long ago this Needles won.
It doesn't say. This is just a Wikipedia list here.
Okay.
All right. Brad, back to you.
Okay.
Native Dancer.
Oh, that's got to be the name of a real horse.
That is a real horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rudy, Cocaine Mothership.
Ooh.
No way. Not a real horse.
That is not a real
horse.
That
is a great name for a horse. If I had a horse, I might name it that, but yeah.
Well, don't they have to be approved by, like, the Kentucky Breeders Association or something?
I don't know why that wouldn't be approved.
Probably.
There's nothing offensive about that.
They would not have signed off on that one.
I don't know what's wrong with that.
I'm waiting for a horse named Buttercup to win a big race.
Let's see here.
Okay, I'm up?
Yes,
or
you
no?
are.
Okay.
All right, we'll do one more for each of you. Let's see here. Skewball.
Skewball. I'm going to say fake.
That is a real horse.
Man.
Rudy? Catbutt.
Rudy's on the phone.
Sorry, that was Pete. He actually called to let us know that with the horse name, so they're not allowed to use anything over 14 letters.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Rudy?
Pete, listen to the show. How you doing, Pete?
Yeah, good old Pete Enoch. Rudy, yours was Catbutt.
No way that's real.
No, not a horse.
No, that is not a horse. That is an inside joke. If Pete is listening, he will appreciate that one. All right, Brad, last one. We'll end on this.
Okay.
We can take a break and kind of regroup.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm going to give you two names.
Okay. I got to pick which one's real? Is that what we're going to do?
I don't know. We'll work it.
Okay.
We'll make this work. Looking at Lucky. All right, two of these are real. One of them is fake.
Okay, so three.
Looking at Lucky, Stooge McCrook, Kissin' George.
Scrooge McCook is fake.
McCrook?
McCrook is fake.
That is fake.
Okay.
Kissin' George was real, and then Looking at Lucky, both real.
All right. Hopefully Pete Enoch, you're still listening. get ready for the challenge on Friday. I'm calling under a fake name. I'm going to be Rudy Salazar.
Horsey McHorseface.
Yeah, Horsey McHorseface.
It's always a solid name. When you need to come up with a name for something,
it's
whatever you're talking about.
Footy McFootface.
Yes. Yeah. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Ridiculous Sports Saturday. And that's fun. A little break once in a while. All right. It's nothing bad. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. Rudy Salazar is as well here in the Rally House Studios. Quick timeout, and we'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
This band hasn't put out anything in a while, have they?
Pretty sure they've disbanded.
Okay.
I feel like the guy who plays the guitar who kind of did some commercial stuff, he has a new band now, I think.
Okay. Just too much. The lead singer's the guy that looks like Rustin Dodd, right?
Nate Royce, or Russ?
Yeah.
He was in a band called The Format that was really, I don't know, kind of like the fringe circuit of being really big when I was in college. We saw them at, the Replay in the Record Bar. I don't know. He was walking around barefoot in the Replay, which I would not recommend. It was gross.
Yeah, you go to all of those hip clubs that I can't go to anymore.
I don't know if it's a hip club. It certainly was hipster.
Yeah. We're back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Also get us on the app, 810WHB.com, where you can catch the podcast. From today, we talked with David Leskey in the first hour about the Royals and some of the young minor leaguers coming up. Sulu Matias hitting 19 home runs already. Also, we had Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com talking about OTAs. And then at 11 o'clock, we had Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com talking World Cup and Sporting KC. And Jed is laughing. We're getting text messages from Seren Petro.
Yeah,
we
have many good friends checking in, calling in. Pete called in. Petro says, just make sure and mention that Seren texted in and said Catbutt is always a regular at the Chiefs Kingdom. He sits in the front row, always big on Mitch Holthus.
Okay. You never know what's going to come up when you do. When you play the game, is this the name of a real horse or did it get made up? That's the name of a guy, apparently. Assuming maybe it's a lady. I don't know. I don't think most ladies would name themselves that, but that's all right. So anyway, I appreciate the fact that Seren listens on the weekends. He'll give me feedback.
Yeah, anytime you get to bring up old cat butt,
classic. That old chestnut, bringing up that old chestnut. I mean, that just comes up in casual conversation almost every day, right?
Absolutely.
Jeez. We're heading towards noon on fumes, I guess. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Josh Briscoe.
Charlie also weighs in. Confirm he is a regular at Chiefs Kingdom.
Charlie Carlin weighing in.
Thank you, Charlie.
Coming up at 2 o'clock, Josh Briscoe is going to be in studio with Baseball Tonight, getting ready for Royals and A's. At 4 o'clock, the Belmont is on, Sports Radio 810 WHB. So if you're out and about and you want to see if Justify wins the Triple Crown or doesn't win, you can tune in at 4 o'clock. Then Josh Briscoe is back as soon as the Royals and A's are done with Baseball Tonight postgame show. And the late night show tonight at 9:30, Sporting KC at Portland. Sporting KC, first place in the Western Conference, 2 points up in the Western Conference. So the 9:30 start tonight out on the West Coast. And then Dave Borchert with the final whistle at around 11:30. So late night for Dave Borchert. So one final thing to kick around here that I kind of brought up when we were off air. Tom Cruise tweeted out last week, day one of shooting for Top Gun Maverick, and had a picture of him with a fighter jet off in the distance.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why do you follow Tom Cruise?
I don't follow Tom Cruise. It got retweeted into my timeline or favorited into my timeline.
I was going to say, you don't seem like the Scientology type.
No, I don't follow Tom Cruise. I'm not one of those.
I'd be interested to see what his Twitter feed is like.
I don't follow very many celebrities, mostly comedians if I follow famous people, because Twitter used to be funny.
Well, speaking of comedians, Petro has sent in many more people that he would like me to shout out, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Mitch Holthus names off everybody when he does that show, Chiefs Kingdom. He'll name off all the groups and the guys. And But so Tom Cruise tweeted out a picture. It's him standing with a fighter jet off in the distance. Top Gun Maverick is underway. They're shooting. And apparently Iceman is going to be back.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is going to be back. And Kenny Loggins, it got tweeted out. I think TMZ shot the video of him at an airport. I think TMZ just has people at the LAX to see who comes off the plane.
Sure.
And Kenny Loggins says he's all for doing a remake of Danger Zone. And perhaps doing it with another younger artist. And he's got some ideas. And depending on when you saw the movie Top Gun, and I'm going to hang on one sec. Depending on when you saw it, depends on how, if it had an impact on your life. So you were thinking, you kind of raised your eyebrow there at a remake of Danger Zone?
Is Kenny Loggins a big enough personality still that he needs to be stopped by TMZ at the airport?
He's put out some of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time. Caddyshack.
Right.
Top Gun.
I get all of that. That was
30
years ago.
I didn't recognize him because he's had so much plastic surgery. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying he has had think of like Kenny Rogers. It's hard to recognize him. I wouldn't have recognized him.
Yeah, former pitcher. Yeah. He's always hard. Bringing it back to sports,
the gambler.
Brad. Bringing it back to sports.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday.
So when did it, depending on your age, Top Gun came out, I believe, between my 7th and 8th grade year of grade school. And so going into 8th grade year, all the guys in my class went out. We didn't get the crew cuts, but we got flat tops, even though that's not the haircut that Maverick had. Because everybody wanted to be Tom Cruise. Everybody wanted to find a girl like Kelly McGillis. All the guys in class wanted to find a Kelly McGillis. And it was a great time of my life when that came out. So the movie was big. The soundtrack was awesome. And they had talked for years about doing another one. But Tom Cruise, other than the Mission Impossible series, and I guess now Jack Reacher, I don't think he's inclined to do a lot of sequels and go for the money grab unless it's really, really good. So it's been a long time. And when his tweet out, it said, I feel the need for speed. And then I thought, well, Tom Cruise at his age, even though he still looks like he's 35, might be more of a, I feel the need. Oh, I hurt my back. Hang on, Iceman. I can't go. But I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited about Top Gun Maverick coming out, I guess, probably next year or 2 years from now.
That's going to be a turd. I guess I don't really have the same excitement that you do.
I was just so worried with the remakes.
Any remake. Yeah. And when you take 30 years off.
Well, it's not a remake. It's the sequel.
Well, yeah.
But
you're
taking 30
years
off. Is Tom Cruise still in the military? Still in the Air Force all these years later?
Maybe.
Like, what the hell is he going to be doing? Flying a jet?
If you remember at the end of the original Top Gun.
I thought he threw his dog. No, those, I guess, were Goose's dog tags.
The admiral on the aircraft carrier came to him after the fight with the Russians. They beat all the Russians, the Soviets at the time. And said, "You got it. Your name is on the front page of all the English speaking newspapers in the world. You got your assignment. Anything you want." And he said, "I was thinking about going back to Top Gun, meaning being an instructor." And the admiral says, "God help us," something like that. So maybe he's been an instructor at Miramar all these years.
That sounds awful.
Well, look, Tom Skerritt was in the original Top Gun, so Jeremy Ironside's whatever his name. They were older instructors at
sure.
the Top Gun Academy.
No, I get it.
And Tom Cruise is younger now than they were then.
Why can't they just make one movie and then just let it go?
Let it go?
Why can't you just... Top Gun's not even like some all-time... We're not talking about The Godfather here. We're talking about Top Gun. Like a popcorn movie.
Just be fun. It'll be fun. That's it. You don't take it
seriously. No. You know me, Brad. I'm always such a grouchy person and how I hate having fun.
Yeah.
Maybe more hate bad movies that this is going to be. I'm projecting it.
You give me the Top Gun sequel, Val Kilmer, Tom Cruise. I'm down. Totally down. Totally down.
Yikes.
I mean, I'm good for that. All right. We are just about out of time here for Sports Saturday. Thanks to David Leske, Matt Derrick, and Andy Edwards for coming on the show today. Josh Briscoe's up at 2 o'clock with Baseball Tonight, and Sporting KC late tonight at 9:30. I want to thank Jed Marshall, Rudy Salazar. My name is Brad Porter. We are live in the Rally House Studios. We will see you next time. You've been listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.